Just so you know, I'm going to need two hugs tonight after this is all over. Yes, I'll take it. Thank you. She said. She's looking out for me, she said. She said. She ain't even no hug. She's saying I'm shiny. I'm not, look. She want to make sure I'm representing. See, she tending to my knees. That's what I'm talking about. And she on the camera, so she say, you shiny. You go ahead and wipe turtle wax off. Okay. All right. All right, so this is the afterburn. If you got comments and questions, keep them till Rabbi Steve come back. I'm teasing. I'm sure he's watching. I didn't even bring my phone out. I'm sure he didn't call. Phone the rabbi. So if you got comments or questions, yes, you can move that board. Thank you so much. Somebody help him. Don't make it get a scratch on it. Uh-uh. Don't. Okay. Don't even walk past it quick. Don't want to get no. So if you got any comments or questions, you can line up or start typing in on live stream. Rabbi, you going to be first? No, he's just showing us how handsome he is with his shirt on. We love Paul. He's always serving. Here he is. All right, Rabbi Tom.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom.
Would you agree on your first point, communication, that it's not always verbal?
Absolutely.
Okay. Are there many, many forms of communication?
Absolutely. Good point.
Looks, body motion, nonverbal noises, you know, things
grunts
like that.
Grunts and sighs and rolling eyes.
Yeah, rolling eyes, uh-huh. Sure. All kinds of communication we have to watch.
All that. Yes. You know what? I have counseled some couples that were learning how to communicate, and they couldn't communicate verbally because every time they tried, they would get into an argument. So I said, you know what you do? You guys get a notepad. You know how to write? Y'all need to write the messages back and forth to each other because there's no emotion in writing unless you put a bad word on it. So go back to the days, at least there was when I was little. Now they got text messages and phones, so you always misinterpret something. But back in the day when I was little, we used to write the note, do you like me? Check yes or no. Okay, I was young. Some of y'all that been married long enough, y'all need to go back to writing notes because y'all cannot talk to each other without getting fueled by something. She looked at me, her glasses was dirty. She turned her eyes at me. She was cross-eyed. Oh, he walked away. He didn't listen. He didn't hear everything that I said. No, look, write it down. Then I got to counseling with Rabbi, and he came up with this little pet rock. You can use whatever you want, but it's just a focus point. If you have issues communicating with your spouse, the only person gets to communicate is the person that's holding the pet rock or whatever you guys, a marble or whatever, is the speaking tool. It's a tool to help you communicate. Unless you got the magic rock or the marble, you can't talk. The other person got to talk and say what they got to say. So all kind of tools and things we use. But yes, communication is huge. And it can say a lot of things. It can even speak to things that are not spoken. So, amen. Thank you, Rabbi Tom. All right, Ashley.
I was completely fine until you started talking about your police things, and then you hit me right here because you had even though your situation, it completely mimicked a situation I grew up in. And so you hit me right right there.
I'm sorry.
Actually, don't be sorry, because here's why.
I'm not.
I'm going to need a Tuesday at 2, I'm telling you. I'm going to need a Tuesday at 2. Remember that, please.
It's full already. Somebody got it.
Okay, the next Tuesday. Okay. I think I have a hard time submitting and doing the 7 or 8 things you have
eight,
on the board.
Yeah.
8 on the board. And because it brought me back to that situation, I think it's because of the every single time I let my guard down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I would be either almost killed, murdered, or raped, or whatever have you. You know, and I think that's why, I have such a hard time doing that, especially with my husband, because we both got together in a situation we should have never gotten together.
You're frolicking. Well, okay, go ahead.
If you want to call that. Sure, it was more than that.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard our story.
Mm-hmm.
And how we're still together is only because of him. But I wanted to say and ask you this, how do I communicate those things when I'm in a moment that communication, respect, and all of that is not even on my mind, it's survival?
Well, first of all, two things. First of all, you got to recognize that your husband is not all of those occasions that you have in your mind. You can't put the two together. What I'm talking about is a covenanted relationship, a marriage, an mm-hmm. agreement between two. You agree that it's your husband, he agreed you're his wife. Mm-hmm. So you have to learn through whatever means necessary, maybe through therapy, maybe through counseling, as you said, how do I see him in the correct way? Because the reason you can't treat him that way is one of two things. One, you don't see him the right way. The first reason why you don't see him the right way is because you mentioned it. It's how you feel. You got self there. And you got self rightfully for the experiences that you had in the past. So you got to get the self dealt with first before you can address how to handle these aspects of respect with your husband. So you got to get you fixed first. I tell husbands and wives all the time, you got to get you 100%. Now, if you're already married and both of you broken, you got to get built back up to 100% where you're able then to carry the other one when the other one is weak and vice versa.
Okay.
So you got to get self out the way, and then you got to see your husband in the right way. If you see your husband as you would see Messiah, then you know that he's able to fix everything that could possibly go wrong with you.
Is there a, this is easier said than done in the moment, but is there a thing when I'm in one of those, whatever you want to call them, moments, PTSD or whatever, that I can say to myself so I don't, like, I didn't hurt him, but I hurt me, if you can see the scratches. How do I not do that?
What I practice, and I told somebody this last night, what I practice is walking away. Give yourself some time and allow your husband to know that you need time to process. I'm the person, and many of you, I hear it in counseling, but I was the person that needed an answer immediately. My wife, because I'm, well, I got all the colors, but red is my biggest color. So I need an answer because I need an answer so I can move on with life. I can't have stuff lingering in the back of my head. I got too much to do. I'm on a mission. Don't be lingering stuff. My wife is white and blue. So that means her answers were coming 5 days later.
Okay.
So I'm suffering for 5 days waiting for this answer to trickle and drip out of the spout.
I'm the opposite.
But your husband may be the other one. So you guys have to communicate and trust each other to say, babe, now, praise Yah, now that it went from 5 days, and I remember it was down to 3 days, then it went from like 5 hours down to 2 hours, and now, I mean, it's almost immediately, if she trespasses against my feelings, emotions, or whatever, she'll come and she'll say it. Okay. And she might just say, give me a minute, I need to process, because I'm looking to get an answer. Remember, Rabbi says there's more than one way to communicate. I'm looking for an answer, expression, something, past gas, something. Tell me that something is going on, that you're still alive in this conversation. Because I'm intentional about making it work and fixing what's broken. So you might need to tell your husband, look, I need a minute to process. And in that minute of you processing, you might need to call somebody. You might need to get on the phone to somebody to help you get regrounded and recentered back so you can deal with the challenges ahead of you, okay?
Okay, and last question, if I may. And that goes with my problem with what you were just saying. I feel like this is going to be messed up. I want him, when I'm upset, I want him to go away. I want to have a moment to just get my head straight. But at the same time, I want that dang hug.
Mm-hmm. Give me a hug, then go away.
Perfect. Thank you.
Or go away, then come back and give me a hug. Just check on me, make sure I'm all right. Let me blow off the steam. I tell husband this all the time, because usually the woman having to blow up, unless they was me and I was mad and I don't even remember what I was mad about. But normally they want the hug, but they need time to get themselves together before they get the hug. So it could go either way. Get the hug first and then go away, or go away and just let them know, I'm going to go away because I need the process, but I really like you to come and comfort me and hold me when I come back. I really like a hug. Now, I told my wife when I was having a fit, because she didn't understand what she should do. So you having a fit, I'm not going to come and engage you and you through the roof. I'm not getting in that. And she said, so she's going to wait. So I said, what I need you to do is when I'm having those fits, I need to know that you care. It's all I care about. It ain't about love. Love is involved in the caring. I need to know that you care. I don't need you to do anything. I just need you to be there. But I can't look at you. I can't go through that emotional roller coaster watching you have a fit. I can't do it. So I learned how to work, learn, adjust, and what is it? Learn, observe, and adjust. There's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Same thing, learn, observe, and adjust. You got to be willing to do that, and he has to be willing to do that. That's why if he's your first ministry and you his, you guys will figure it out and work it out so you can get what both of you need, because you're both able to supply what each other needs. And if not, there are always options to go outside and get help from an outside source. Thank you. You're welcome. Courtney!
So when you said you're either working on your marriage or working on your divorce, I thought to myself, okay, so there's paperwork and separating stuff, but what's the emotional side of the divorce? Within that context of everything you said, how do we handle the emotional side of the divorce process? Can you explain that to me?
Yes, I've been divorced once, and I tell everybody that's dealing with it, divorce is a hard thing. Being married and being miserable is also a hard thing. So sometimes divorce is necessary, and we understand that. But in the divorce, you got to understand that however long you've been married, you're separating memories and dreams and aspirations and goals and admirations, and all these things are being separated. And so that is an emotional roller coaster for anybody. The top three things, the most stressful in people's lives, are moving, having babies, and divorce. And so divorce is a very traumatic, can be very traumatic for a lot of people, because you're pulling apart, separating. There was a connection at some point, right? You got married, there was a connection, you grew together to a certain point, and now what you're doing is you're ripping that apart emotionally. And if you don't have the proper guidance, that's why some people need therapy to go through a divorce, because they need to get themselves whole, and the wife and husband both need to get themselves whole individually, and they need to be put back together. So that's where therapy comes in. So a lot of marriages, when they have this ripping apart in the beginning, it's much tougher in the beginning than it is after it's done, because it's a lot easier, because you still got to live with the person, deal with the person. You may have kids together. You got a lot that you got to deal with. So it's going to be an emotional turmoil for a minute. And that's why it's important that you get some help when you start experiencing that emotional tearing apart. Because the last thing you want to do is cause your emotion, because it's a tearing apart, cause your emotions to make you revert on the decision that you made. And maybe you're reverting on a decision because maybe it wasn't a good decision to do it in the first place. Maybe you didn't get counsel or need counsel. Or maybe you are okay with the decision that you made and you just need help with that separation. And that's where therapists could come in and help you with that.
Okay, so there's not like emotional work we need to do with each other while we're in this process?
It depends on what emotional work, what you guys are struggling with. That's why you would need counseling or therapy to help decide those two things. So it can be done in a healthy way to create healthy boundaries.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Miss Janet.
Elder, thank you so much.
Yeah,
you're
welcome.
That was really, really good.
Oh, good.
Yes.
I said pass gas on the mic, so just ignore that part.
No, it was really good. It was excellent. There's so much. Marriage is something that it's kind of my passion, mm-hmm. right? Marriage. Mm-hmm. Because I love, my favorite thing to do is work with couples, but my favorite thing to do in terms of my own personal life is working on my own marriage.
Amen.
Because I see so much from you and Rabbi. Obviously, also my clients help me so much to see what,
Amen.
You know, to see things that I'm not able to see. So I really appreciate everything that you gave us. And I was going back to the Ephesians verse that you... I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. You know, like you said, 5:2, walk in love with Messiah, mm-hmm. also has loved us and gave himself for us, a gift and an offering to Elohim for a sweet smelling fragrance. And you said, if we're nice to each other, then that's what you're presenting to the Father. And so I need to remember that. Like, I feel like if I keep it in my head, like in the front, I can probably slow down and stop before I even say anything or before I even make a, you know, like even a gesture or anything to keep me aligned with him, because at the end, we're always doing it to him, right? This mm-hmm, is what I'm gathering. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My other shift in what I need to figure out is how do I properly see my husband as my head and as Yeshua was to the church, to the body. Mm-hmm. So that's, I recognize I've been doing my own personal healing, of course. And you were talking about that, the baggage that we mm-hmm. can bring mm-hmm. when we were girls, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think we all have our own luggage.
Right.
And so I've been I've been doing some work with that. And as I'm starting to become, because I don't think I'm there yet, like the woman and the wife that I need to be, then I can see him as his own person, right? Without necessarily thinking of what I receive as I experience with other authority figures in my life, but really who he is and why. Like you were saying, the DNA is in him, right? And he wants to give, and he wants to lead, and he wants to do that. But how much am I letting him do? So I really appreciate. It has opened my eyes to look at myself, because that's all I can do. I can only work on me, right? And so if I do that, I have hope that this is gonna even get better and better.
Amen.
And better.
Amen.
And I love when you said communication number one. Marriage, I heard and I read, is a conversation that never ends.
Amen.
And I love that because it takes a whole lifetime to get to know your spouse and to be passionate and looking at who this person is, right? And so there's not, you won't get that unless you're trusting and you're opening and you're having the respect and everything that you shared today. So I'm very excited about this.
Awesome.
I'm just super thankful for that. Thank you.
Well, Albert. You're welcome. So what I got while Janet was talking is seeing her husband or seeing your husbands in the proper light. And men, you should be looking at your wives in the proper way as the bride, as I said before. But in order to help you understand, I think Rabbi's given us a great example. If Yeshua is the walking, talking, living Torah, right? And we're supposed to treat our husbands as we treat him, right? Right? We should, right? So in order to see them in the right way, we got to understand that Torah is there to do what? Protect you, keep you safe, and help you transform. So you being married to this man that is walking Torah, walking the covenant, and trying to transform into Yeshua, part of the transformation that you need to go through is tied to him, you and him becoming one flesh. Because if you become one flesh, then both of your issues are worked out. And maybe the answer that you're looking for is connected to you seeing him the right way. Because a lot of the answers that we are looking for from above is coming through us seeing the anointed and appointed. In this case, the anointed and appointed is your husband, who then should be submitted as he is unto the vertical structure. We're all in between. We're all in the in-between. Even Yeshua is in between, right? And so if we're looking at our husbands the right way as Messiah, then we know that he's the walking, talking Torah, living Torah. And that marriage covenant should be keeping us safe, protecting us, and helping us to transform into the image of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Thank you. And thank you, Rabbi. All right, Ms. Rhonda, Shabbat Shalom.
Yeah, so my question is, well, actually, I understand all of those, like the communication, respect, and all that. But the boundaries, can you just... What does that look like the unhealthy boundaries or healthy boundaries? What does that look like?
So a healthy boundaries versus unhealthy boundary is based upon expectation, because that's between you and him. A lot of people, when they're in marriage counseling, they want us to come up with their expectation or ask us, is their expectation reasonable or not? You need to ask that to your spouse. But part of the expectation should be, this is a healthy boundary, like Ashley, for instance, Ashley's example. When she gets mad, she needs to take a breath, go away. She doesn't need a hug, but then she needs a hug. So an unhealthy boundary would be, I explained that to you. I wrote it down on a piece of paper. You know this. We've communicated this. I trust that you understood what I said, and now this has happened, and you did totally opposite of what we agreed upon. So now the boundary is unhealthy because you didn't honor the boundary. So boundaries are created between the husband and wife upon agreement, just like submission is based upon agreement. Boundaries are based upon agreement. There are some open boundaries that everybody should be aware of, like there are open laws that we know, like the Ten Commandments, so on and so forth, that are standard in the culture and the world we live in. But there are ones that you feel that are a violation to your agreement. I remember one of the things, because you guys are one of my star couples, but I remember one thing that you mentioned about the toilet seat. You look, there's a pet peeve. She, don't you leave that seat up. That's a pet peeve of her. The lid. So you can, well, if the lid's down, then the seat's down. So it's not the seat, but it's the lid. Right. And that was a pet peeve. So that may be a boundary because he agreed. Okay. He might have thought you was a nut job. Like, you crazy. Ain't nobody going through all that. You do it yourself. Whatever. But you guys created the boundary. And you guys, that's part of the expectation. You create the boundaries. I can't tell you what your boundaries should be. You should tell. I mean, there's some general ones, yes. But that boundary should be set, those healthy and unhealthy boundaries should be set by agreement and by you guys setting expectations in the beginning. I'm trying to think if my wife has any that I mess up all the time, besides throwing the egg carton away. My wife wanted me to save the egg carton. And I get rid of the eggs, and then because I crack the egg and I put the drippy egg shell back in the carton. Because I'm not, see, so other boundaries have been violated at the very moment. It's not on expectation level. Good man. So I take the egg carton and I put it in the trash. And I know, my wife will say, honey. And I already know what she'll say, and I preemptively, because I already know what she's going to say. I like to be ahead of the storm. I don't like to be in it. I don't like to be behind it. I'm ahead of it. I said, babe, I put the egg carton in the trash because I cracked and put a nasty egg in it. What y'all think she said? She said, I don't care. She wasn't being smart. She said, I don't care. She went and took the nasty egg out, let it dry it out. I don't know how she cleaned it up, but she got to keep the egg carton. Okay, that's a simple one, but it could be more, you know, more important to you, but it's important to her. And what's important to her is important to me. Brian.
Thank you for this teaching.
No, you're welcome.
No, I just wanted to add a comment that hopefully you can expound upon, but what was continually going through my mind throughout this process is mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, we're going through life and we don't realize we're on autopilot, right? You get up, you go to work in the morning, you're exhausted, you don't remember how you got there because it's just routine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, I know that this is the case often for me and other people as well, but oftentimes when we go through these issues with our spouses, it's not necessarily that we have an issue with them. It's that we're projecting what we feel on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And after identifying that I would do that sometimes or whatever the case is, I realized that it all starts with me, right? I'm a covering before I'm anything else. My wife is my first ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of projecting or being like, well, what's her problem, whatever the case is, it's like, especially as men, we need to be looking within ourselves first.
Amen.
Am I doing everything exactly the way that it needs to be done, or does something need to be clarified or communicated? Am I meeting those expectations and those love languages in a way that that she can receive that, not the way that I think that it should be done?
There you go.
But I think we also need to start looking at some of these issues that we have. It's not a me versus you issue sometimes, especially as a husband and a wife. You loved each other at some point. You decided you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives together. Stop looking at it as things as a me versus you issue and start looking at things as you and me versus the issue.
Amen.
We're supposed to be one flesh.
Amen.
We're supposed to be communicating. Amen. That's not going to be perfect. It's going to take time. Right? But we have to start now. We don't know what's going on in the world right now. We don't know how much time we have left.
Amen.
Every day, like you said, we wake up, we should be saying thank you. But what's the point in saying thank you if you're not going to pick up where you left off the day before and continue to make strides, first and foremost, in yourself?
Amen.
As a man, as a woman, as a husband, as a wife.
Amen.
Everything else falls into place after that. So just a little bit of a suggestion that I think really has helped me with my mindset, and I still got a long way to go. But it's always my wife and I versus whatever's going on.
Amen.
And we're going to figure it out.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That was a quick recap. So I tell couples all the time that when you're treating your wife, Jesus and men, treating your wife as your first ministry, you have to recognize some of the traps we fall into. If all of you think about the last argument you had with your spouse, I guarantee probably all of you, not all of you, very close to all of you, it was something outside of you and her's relationship that you were arguing about. Very seldom do you guys argue about something between you two. You're usually arguing about a decision that was made from something external of the relationship. And as Brian said, you need to bring it back together. We're one flesh. We're going to deal with the situation. We're not going to deal with your response to it or my response that may be different because you're arguing about differences. But the differences that you're arguing about, you got to realize that's outside of you and her becoming one. If it's the kids, it's outside. If it's an ex-spouse, it's outside. If it's a job, it's outside. And you got to think about that. And men, you got to give your wives a lot of support when they come to you bringing you stuff that's outside of the relationship. The board's gone. They need support. Not that they shouldn't feel that way or pick themselves up by their bootstrap. You guys, baby, I know. I understand. Look, but we're going to get through it. I'm going to fix it. Whatever you need, I'm going to take care of it. You got to give them that reassurance that no matter what I got to do, I'm going to find an answer. I heard this story one time. If your child was, I think it was from Dave Ramsey, but if your child needed a life-saving medication and it cost $5,000, what would you do to get it? You didn't have it because you ain't saving the money because you're bad with your finances. You ain't saved it. What would you do to get it? You would find a way, right? It meant that much to you. A life-saving medication for your child, $5,000, you rob it, but you would do what you had to do. You'll find a way. How much more important is it for your first ministry, your husband or your wife, to find a way to fix it if they mean that much to you? Find a way. Now, I'm not saying this for anybody that is facing a divorce or separation, any of those things that they haven't considered, that I'm sure they have. Maybe you need counsel, maybe you need therapy. Or maybe you're just really in a bad situation, I don't know. But if you think about the tools that I've given you guys, if you think about what Brian said and me elaborating on the issues that exist external of the relationship, you'll realize that it's not as bad as you thought it was. Now, this is what we say in counseling all the time. Maybe it's something that you can't forgive. Maybe some violation, some breach of agreement, something happened in between you two that was breached. Maybe you can't get over that. So maybe you need to be separated and eventually get a divorce. If you can't move forward, because you can't live in misery and bitterness holding on to something that you can't let go of. And that happens. It's unfortunate. It happens. And you need to move forward. You can't keep holding on to bitterness. But if you think about it, all the issues you've had in your past with your husband, wife, whatever, in your relationship, in your marriage were external. So what I had to do when I ran into situations and difficulties in my marriage, I had to look at things differently. Anybody know the Disney movie Big Hero 6? Anybody ever saw it? Well, go back and look at it if you ain't saw it. If you did see it, go look at it. I got kids, so I saw it. I own it, I'm sure. But one of the scenes in the movie, the big marshmallow robot was telling the kid, well, the big brother was telling the little brother while he was trying to do this robot thing, he said, you know, you got to look at things differently. If you look at things the way you always looked at things, you're always going to get the same thought about the thing you looked at. But if you begin to change your perspective about the thing that you're looking at and look at it differently, it might change the way you treat the thing. If you're looking at your husband or your wife as in a negative light, won't you wake up and start looking at them in a positive light? It might change your outlook. And maybe you need to begin to speak positive affirmations to yourself about your spouse. I was working on this teaching this morning, and I got the goosebumps. And I started sending my wife a nice little text. I don't have my phone, I would read it to you. But I was inspired by the teaching. I said, I love you. I'm thinking about you. You're the best thing ever happened to me. I don't know how you just let me go and do all the things I need to do. And you put up with all the nonsense. You put up with my hours. You put up attitude, everything. And you're just still there for me. You just support me no matter what I go through. And I just really appreciate you. And I couldn't do without you. Something like that. I wish I did. It came out of my heart. But I say that because I got to think of it differently. If I think about it as, I got all this to do. I'm working so hard. I didn't work all these hours. I'm tired. I miss my wife. I never get to spend time. Then my outlook on my wife, I might get a little irritated. Because you might want to blame her. It ain't her fault. I remember when me and my wife were dating, I used to go visit her whenever I leave. She would get an attitude. She'd get mad. I was like, why do you get mad before I leave? She said, finally, one day she told me, because you're leaving. I know you're leaving. So kept getting long and, you know, kept increasing the amount of time she would be mad before you left. It used to be before I left, she was mad. But then it was the day before I left, she mad. 2 days before, no, it didn't go that long. But we need to look at our spouse differently. Look at your spouse the way you want them to be. Scripture says to see things or to see things as they are, speak those things that are not as though they are. Y'all remember hearing that back in the church? No? Well, don't worry about it. I just told you. There you go. So you need to start speaking the positivities over your spouse. Some of y'all need to wake up early while the wife's still snoring, and you need to speak positivity over, oh, you the best thing ever happened to me. You know when they wake up, all hell gonna break loose. You already know. You ever go to bed and then wake up not knowing if you were still mad at your wife or not? You wake up and don't know if you're still mad at your husband or not because you got to play that role. I gotta seal this thing. I got to make sure they know I'm serious. Oh, come on. Gary, I love you. You the best thing ever happened to me. You know she didn't get on your last nerve, but you speaking something that's not as though it is because you want it to be. Now, I ain't saying get all hit in your eye and you tell me, oh, no, he didn't hit me in my eye because that's trauma. You need therapy. But I mean somebody that's actually trying, somebody that you actually love and that you're actually trying to see the right way. You need to speak life over and to your spouse. Speak life over and to your marriage. Speak life over and to your children. Speak life over and to your job. Speak life over into your ministry. Every area of your life you need to speak. A lot of you need to start speaking over your finances. Speak life in and over. Begin to pray for these things. As much as we talk about prayer, I had somebody call first thing Monday, this past Monday. First thing, want me to pray. I said, I will pray. We're always praying, but I will pray. I said, did you pray? I'm going to pray. As a matter of fact, I was praying while they were telling me what was going on. I said, you pray? And he said, no. I don't understand that. You didn't bypass the Father. You didn't came to me. I am nothing. And you didn't bypass him and then come to me, ask me to pray for you. Look, if you ain't got no connection with it, what me praying for you going to do? I'm going to pray. Don't you worry. I'm going to pray, but you need to be praying. I would say it to all of you. I say it all the time. You not only need to be praying, but you need to be praying and listening. Pray and shut up. Y'all talk too much. Rambling on, you ain't know nothing to say, and they're going to tell me about you talking in tongues by accident. Because you ain't had nothing to say. Be quiet. That's how you know. Somebody mad at me right now. Why the hell did you talk about? Yes, you done rambled on. You done rambled so much, you ain't know what you were saying, and you thought you done talking in tongues. Look, pray and be quiet. Take your petition to him, as he said, and leave it there. Be quiet. And maybe you want to stay just a little bit. Just stay a little longer after you make the petition. Just stay there in your prayer closet, wherever you are, in bed, on the closet, in the child, wherever you're doing this praying at. Maybe you need to wait just a little while longer after you pray and shut up for a minute and see if he says something. Now, if you hear some audible, run. No, I'm kidding. He might inspire you. He may give you a thought. He might say something to you like he said to me. I was dealing with some heavy guilt from my first marriage. I divorced my first wife. I was feeling some guilt because I didn't feel like after I did everything I knew to do to try to save it, I felt like after it was actually done, I had that emotional turmoil that Courtney mentioned, had that emotional turmoil, and I said, well, did I do everything? I went to the Father and said, did I do everything I knew to do? Is there anything I could possibly have done? Did I miss something? You got to tell me because I'm about to lose my mind. I was in the kitchen. I remember it very vividly. And I could hear him just as clear as day in my mind. It wasn't audible. Don't think I'm done lost my mind. I could hear him say, you're not guilty. You're not guilty. I was feeling guilt, a lot of guilt, like I did something. He said, you're not guilty. And released me of all that pain, all that negative emotional space that was welling up inside of me because I just knew. You know that disappointment that Rabbi talks about, that we don't want to disappoint him? You ever feel that way? Well, I feel that way towards him. And guess what? might shock you. I feel that same way towards Rabbi. If he looks at me and I've caused him dishonor, if I cause him shame and he looks at me, I'm going to feel like I felt in the kitchen waiting for Abba to say, you're not guilty. Because I see Rabbi Steve correctly. I see Rabbi Tom correctly. I see their spouses correctly. One day I came into the office early in the morning, start working, and I went in Rabbi Steve's office, and the safe was open, just cracked. And I send him a message. I say, I came in this morning, the safe was left open, but I closed it. He teased me. But praise God, I have the integrity. It wasn't like he would have known. It wasn't the first time. I mean, it's happened many times. But I've communicated my trust and my genuineness to him and treat him and see him in the right way, that I don't want to bring him any dishonor or shame. I don't want to hear him say anything negative about me or do anything to bring negativity or bring him down in any way, shape, or form. You should think about your husbands that way. Husbands, you should think about their wives. You don't want to bring them dishonor. You should love them with everything you got. And if you can't figure it out, you can't work it out, all right. There are solutions to that. Separation, divorce, those things, that's a part of our reality. But you don't have to stay in it if it's not working out for you. Amen? All right, live stream. Oh, Mr. Rocky's coming up. You're welcome.
So thank you so much, Elder Billy.
Absolutely. I love that shirt.
Well, thank you.
Nice color on you.
Cool. So, like you've been saying, how you look at Rabbi Steve, that's so important. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the biggest struggle I've had in this whole journey. Mm. And that's the one common factor we all have. We're here because of one man, mm-hmm. Rabbi Steve Bergson. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Amen. And it says that the scripture says that he's like a father to us, mm-hmm. and he's also like a husband to us. Mm-hmm. So I look at Rabbi Steve like that, you know, that I communicated with him. I come to him when I first started counseling with him. I'd call him every week, and then he said, he's going, whoa, you don't need to call me every week. You know, I remember the second time or third time I talked to him, I started talking to him. Oh, my week's been good, blah, blah. And he's going, what? Wait a minute, you know. And then I waited. And then the next time I called him, I was a sobbing idiot and I was just a mess. And he was, oh, this is a good time, you know. So I did this communication. Yeah. And then I trusted that I would, you know, be able to call him and talk to him when I needed to. Mm-hmm. And I had that respect that I just didn't call him to chit chat. I really wanted to become a buddy. I thought, man, he's really cool, you know.
He is.
He is. Yeah. And the more I get to know him, he is. No, he's not. Right. You know. But that's the respect.
Amen.
You know. And then I realized, wow, I want to support this man the best, whatever I can do it. Whatever it takes. Amen. And then to find those boundaries. Where is that? Where is that? You know, where is that? You know, he's not a buddy to mine. Mm-hmm. I'd like him, but where is he? You know, mm-hmm. And for what it's worth.
Amen.
So, thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. You're welcome. That's so good, Rocky. Yeah, you can clap. Wow. You know what? This teaching was supposed to be, me and Rabbi talked about it before he left. Well, before he even spoke last week, we talk about teachings we're going to do or we're thinking about doing and bounce things off of each other. And I was going to teach today about being an armor bearer. And I was sharing with him as he was leaving to go on his trip. And I said, you know, when I went to go and start doing some researching, I had it all wrong from what I was told in the church. Because I believe in the truth of me studying this out that I would be an armor bearer to him. To Rabbi Steve, and me looking at it, it was so much more in depth than I ever thought when I was in the church after I researched what an armor bearer was. It's not just a person that supports and carries the armor of the king, but an armor bearer is the one that is willing to sacrifice and lay down their life for the king. They're holding the king's armor to protect the king. They're not holding the king's armor to hand it to him so he can go fight. They're like the Secret Service. They're there to protect the asset, protect the president. So an armor bearer is like the shadow that Rabbi has during the feast. The armor bearer is what me and Rabbi Tom are to him ministerially. The Shamash team are armor bearers to the leadership. And the Shamash in training are there to support. Each joint supplies, as Scripture says. All of you have your roles. But I'm so grateful and appreciative, as Rocky said, I remember, I'm going to tell you how I know that Rabbi Steve is the anointed appointed. How I know he is. For me, I'll tell you how I know. So, I have a relationship, you know, my own relationship with the Father, right? We all do. We should be striving towards that. We talked about Sarah and Abraham last night and their different levels of belief and faith in their relationship. And so I had a relationship with Abba. And Rabbi said something to me one day, and he said he didn't hear it, but I thought I was reminded, inspired to say, you shouldn't talk to him that way. I said something that was kind of not anything outright disrespectful. I would never do that. As close as he and I are, is that right? Did I say that right? Yes. Close as we are. Okay, thank you. Sometimes my Ebonics mess me up. As close as we are, I never question, I never even think about being disrespectful to him. He can joke with me, call me all kind of names. Not that he does. He does joke with me. He doesn't call me names. but he can do that. I will never do that to him. He's called me friend. And I just probably, after almost 4 years of being here, I just accepted that. I have not returned back to him. Yes, he's my friend in a friendly way, but I don't ever want to mess up that vertical. I don't ever want to get that twisted. So I said something I thought was a little smart, and Abba grabbed me. That's how I know he's anointed appointed. I went back in my office, Abba grabbed me, said, would you talk to me that way? All right. And it hit me like, boom. So I went in the rabbi, head hung low. He's doing whatever he's doing. He's in his office on his computer. He ain't paying me no mind. He's just doing whatever he's doing. I said, Rabbi, I just wanted to apologize. He said, for what? I said, the way I talk to you. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, well, I felt as though how I said it, you know, I'm all serious. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, all right, well, all right. He went on about his way. It happened again. And this time, same thing happened. And I was like, would you talk to me that way? I went back, apologized. Once again, he didn't know what I was talking about. He's like, okay, well, I didn't hear it. I appreciate it, whatever. Carry on. Then the third time it happened. So that's two times he's at least revealed to me that he knows and I recognize who I'm dealing with, right? And I got to tell people, y'all get it twisted all the time because y'all look at him, you look at his humanity. You're not looking at his anointing. And so you can't see him right because you're looking at him as a man. I'm not saying he's not a man, but he's a man with an anointing. And we all came here for the anointing. The anointed man. And just like we try to separate the man from the woman so those two can become one, you're watching before your very eyes as the years go on, Abba merging the anointing into humanity, to a man. And you get to see that. But can you embrace that is the question. Because when he opened his mouth and fire pours out, you're getting the anointing, the fire of Yahweh coming out of an anointed vessel who is a human who has flaws. A lot of people have left because they're looking at his humanity. They're not looking at his anointing. They came for the anointing. They came for the teaching. They came for that fire that comes out of his mouth. And they get sidetracked because they got their feelings hurt because they looked at humanity. Guess what? If you look at humanity, you always get your feelings hurt. Look at any great leader in this scriptures. Look at any of them. If you look at the humanity, you're going to get it twisted. You're going to miss what you were supposed to get. You're going to miss it because you're looking at the wrong thing. You're not seeing him right. You can either look at Moses as the deliverer or look at Moses as a murderer. Take your choice. You can look at David as an adulterer or you can look at David as the king. How are you looking at him? You looking at him because he had a fit one day because he couldn't get his password right? That's his humanity. But when I see him deal with the challenges that he deals with in ministry, somebody said, I don't know who it was, so forgive me for not remembering. Somebody said to me this morning, it was Mr. Pete, said to me this morning, Rabbi, one day we should get up here. I said, maybe we'll add it to our journey stories that we should get up here and tell you what we go through, me, Rabbi Tom, and Rabbi Steve, throughout the week. Like, what is our schedule like? What do we deal with? I said, they don't know. He said, we don't know that. I said, y'all think I'm mean. Y'all think Rabbi's mean up here when he's spitting fire, right? Y'all think he's mean. But then when you counsel with him, he's the sweetest thing. And y'all be like, this is not the same person. And if he needs to spit fire while he's talking to you, he'll spit fire. And then he'll hold you, hug you. Now me, I'm going to hold and hug you now. And when you get in there, I'm going to spit fire. And if you ain't ready, and I know if you're ready or not, if you ain't ready, guess what? You ain't going to hear it until you go away. Go away, Danielson. Wax on, wax off. You ain't ready. I ain't going to waste my time blowing fire if you ain't ready to receive it. There's somebody waiting for that moment to be inspired, for their lives to change, for them to make the right moves, the necessary moves to move their life forward. If I know you're stagnant, guess what? I'm not giving you my time. Because there's too many people that are waiting to receive from what Abba has put inside of these human vessels. And so we should be ready to receive. So thank you. You didn't open that thing. Man. So I know he's anointed. You ain't got to believe it. I know you do because you're all here, but y'all ain't got to believe it. So the third time I went, said something. I don't want to leave it off of Miss Janet. The third time I went, and I apologized, and because I thought I said something sideways, and he said, no, it's okay. I heard you. I was like, oh, he heard me too. He said, I caught you. He said, but it's okay. I knew why you said what you said. I said, but I'm sorry. You know, now I will explain, you know, because it's like I explained to him. I don't want to disappoint him. Look, I just want to tell you he said, no, it's okay. I know why you said it. I appreciate you apologizing because it did. I heard you. I heard it this time. Does that mean the other two times he heard when he act like he didn't hear? Maybe. I don't know. Isn't that the Father? Showing us through human vessels how he interacts with us. Amen. Charmers, Robbie, you got any more? The children coming in. I got to stop talking about passing gas because it's you.
Yeah, we got a few.
Okay, go ahead.
From Melanie says a question. Are there any non-negotiables that means one spouse or the other should leave or divorce?
Are there any non-negotiables? Other than the laws of the land, that is subject to counsel. I mean, there are some obvious ones, you know, physical abuse. That is a no-brainer. So, I mean, if it's outside of the realm of those things, I would seek counsel for. But there are some things, like I mentioned, that shouldn't be happening. You putting your hand, beating people up, buzzing up, no, nobody. I'm not saying that you can't recover from that, but you need therapy. I'm not saying you necessarily got to get divorced or that's a non-negotiable. That's why that person needs to counsel so we can get clarity on their situation. I don't want a broad stroke, but there are some things that absolutely would be non-negotiables by the laws of the land. So,
okay, from Sandy, says my husband is upset that I didn't discuss it with him when my bubble was popped. I had no control over it and went to him when it happened. Does that fall under disrespect, especially when Yah comes first?
No, that falls under communication. You guys have a communication problem. He felt as though his feelings are real. This is one thing I want to say. Y'all stop disregarding your spouse's feelings because you don't agree. Whether you agree or not, this is how they feel, and you need to own it and work on it. I think it's so disrespectful, talking about respect, I think it's disrespectful when our spouse comes to us and say they got an issue with something that happened, and just because we don't agree with it, we blow them off. That's disrespectful. But anyway, and that's my own opinion. That's my disclaimer. But anyway, no, I think it's a communication issue. There's a breakdown in communication of how he's understanding what the disrespect was or how he's associating. I'm not saying that he felt as though it was disrespect. I guess the question says, does that fall under disrespect? Especially when y'all, so I would take the y'all comes first out of it. No, it doesn't fall under disrespect unless he says it's disrespectful. But I would have a conversation, and you may need to get counsel for him to understand, because you're introducing to him something that you're changing your way of life, your lifestyle, that could affect the whole household. So you guys want to have a conversation because it could become a marriage issue. All right.
Okay, Helen Newkirk, when we allow our husband to lead, what does that look like? Because I'm kind of confused about it, because he wants me to start things off first. So what could I do to help him lead first?
You need to have a conversation. Allowing him to lead means you allow him, now not necessarily do the work, but you allow him to make the decision. Maybe it's the final decision. But you guys got to agree upon the things that he wants you to start off first if you want to do them or not. So allowing him to lead, make sure you're not confusing the two of allowing him to lead as submission. Allowing him to lead is his right as the head of the house, that he has a right by Yahweh himself to lead the house. Now, how he leads it needs to come under agreement so you can submit to that. But you probably not submitting because you don't like how it's going about him starting things off first or wanting you to start things off, and what could you do to help lead him first? You don't need to help him. The way that you can help him, if you want to help him, is to sit down and have an expectations conversation and have a conversation. What does this look like to you? I'm allowing you to lead, and maybe you got some reasons why he wasn't leading good in this area. Look, I have couples all the time that I deal with their finances. That's why I don't know if I got a married couple, I do not talk to one spouse. I talk to both spouses at the same time if I'm giving financial counseling or coaching with a couple. Because I guarantee the husband and wife are not seeing the bills and the money coming in the same way. Some husbands see Call of Duty as a priority, getting that game pass. Some women find priority at the Etsy store. So you guys got to have a conversation as to what does this look like, because apparently it hasn't happened before. I'm allowing him to lead. What does this look like? What is the expectation? Am I going to agree to it or not? You don't have to agree. How can two walk together unless they agree? So you have to come to an agreement on these things and have a conversation, which is the first point to the teaching, a conversation, communication. All right, next.
Okay, last one from Bonnie Blue. It says, Elder Billy, at the beginning you said if those are not married, then hopefully we are looking to be married or married again. Why should a woman past childbearing years marry?
Looking for love in all the right places. Look, as I mentioned before, Scripture says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. I know a lot of women that, in this congregation alone, that are way past childbearing ages. And some man and came in and found them. And guess what? They didn't got hooked up, married, the whole nine quartered. So nothing is beyond, I mean, is anything too hard for Yahweh? So don't laugh within yourself, Miss Bonnie Blue. You may come to a feast and somebody might put their eyes on you. Next thing you know, y'all courting, sitting in counseling, talking about expectations and color codes and love languages. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that at any age you could get married. I think the oldest marriage I know of, the guy was 95 and the young lady was 93 and they got married. Yeah, that's what I said. Wow. Anyway, that was the last one you said? All right, well, that ends it. That closes it up. Awesome. Great job, everybody.